Welcome to Tech at Day 2. How is everybody? Beautiful. Happy to hear that. It's nice to be at home. Usually when I'm US, I make the joke, sorry guys, I got a weird accent, but hey, I'm not the only one. All right. Today, as you can guess, we're going to talk about the hacker tools to detect Windows clients. And I believe we prepared a good session for you with lots of demos. And I hope we hope that you're going to enjoy it. First of all,
technical
difficulties.
Okay, hold on. I don't know what's going on.
The pointer is not working. Just use the mouse there. All right, first of all, warning. You will learn a couple of cool stuff today, hopefully. We would like to ask you, please do not use this in real life without permission. This can put you in trouble. And even if you want to use it in real life, please seek for permission. So, while saying that, we are giving all the liability to you. All right? Do we agree? Promise?
Yes.
Cool. I love Europe. All right. Saying that, my name is Erdal Özkaya, the guy who was born in Germany, living in Australia. And I'm lecturing security classes at Charles Lewis University, working for Chem Technologies. I see many familiar faces. I think some of you know me. For the ones that don't know me, you can go to my blog, which is myname.lastname.com. I'm an MVP, proud one, certified technical instructor, teaching hacking classes beside the university. And I'm also an MCT, delivering training when I got time. Raymond, who are you?
Well, my name is Raymond Convalius. I'm an infrastructure architect from the Netherlands. I'm focused on Microsoft technology, and I do training and consulting. At a certain point in time, I started authoring books. This was not a success from the beginning. I started authoring Windows Vista for XP professionals. I sold 2 copies, I think. I was able to rewrite the book and rewrote it in Windows 7 for XP professionals, and that one actually sold fairly well. And I'm sometimes active on Twitter and may blog sometimes. So, what will we be talking about today? Well, Microsoft has been greatly improving security in the Windows operating system. This means that bad guys need other tactics. They have to change their tactics to make sure that they get a hold on our systems. And that's what we'll be talking about today.
Okay, as we all know, there is 2 types of organizations. The ones they know they've been hacked. And the ones they still don't know they've been there. All right, let's stop here. Do you know a company which is still not hacked yet? Yeah? Your company? Do you got computers? Do you got computers in your company? Yeah, good, good. You know, what I'm trying to say is, I don't want to mention company names, but there are too many of them. It doesn't mean the operating system is bad. It doesn't mean they don't have any security policy. So what is the reason they're getting hacked? We're going to try to demonstrate a couple of stuff today for you to take home and hopefully work on it and to improve the security. All right, moving forward, there is going to be 2 types of organizations. One of them who adopt Microsoft technologies. One of them who adopt the modern threat environment. And I think you noticed Windows 10 is coming with really great features, right? Or server Preview 10, if you played with it. But is this all? No. You have to have lots of other additional stuff to protect your environment. And you have to know that. Doesn't matter what you're using. I mean, I'm lecturing masterclasses in a university. I'm doing worldwide events like that. And I always get people like, hey, we are using Linux. We will not get hacked. Really? That's the question. Really? Or, we're going to adopt Windows 10. This is going to protect us. By itself, not. So if you are aware what is coming, then you will be protecting yourself. So to do that, you have to keep in mind, the attackers are aiming you. We know that there is a huge shift towards the cloud. software service, platform of service, hacking is getting harder. What do the hackers do? Do you think they're sitting down and waiting for you to find vulnerabilities in the cloud environment? Or did they change the attack environment towards you, your identity? When I say you, I know everybody in this room, or most of the people in this room are security professionals, IT professionals. So it's not about you. It's about your end users that you're supposed to protect. Here's a little research information based on McAfee. 75% of the users using the same password across multiple websites, multiple services. Anybody using Dropbox here? Yeah, I know all your passwords. Anybody shopping at big company, which I don't want to mention here? Yeah? I got your credit card details. Any celebrities here? I got your pictures. All right. So, what can we do? For me, it's to show you, tell you again and again and again, please be aware. Because hackers are humans like us. They know our vulnerabilities. They know our habits. And they create exploits based on us. So, you can always see here, people are starting to shift against you. Like, if I get your Dropbox username, which is probably your company email address, or your Outlook.com email address, which is maybe your MSDN access, maybe this will lead me to your Azure environment. That's why it's really important to follow the trends to get more and more secure. All right. There is really one thing which is really important. If you know that the bad guys are after you, you will protect yourself better. And that's the key point which I'm trying to highlight here. And we're going to show you how you can protect yourself. I'm pretty sure most of you do know that you can buy whatever you like on the internet. Not via your IE or other browsers. Via Tor. You can go buy credit cards. You can go buy passports. Yes, if you don't believe me, just go do it yourself. You can buy guns. You can buy heroin. And this is a real screenshot from websites. I mean, when I done this presentation, 5 months ago in Texas, I said, you can buy guns. Then I looked at it, hey, this is Texas. You can buy it regardless. But this is Barcelona. You are not allowed to have any guns or European Union. But if you really want to, you can go and buy it from there. So why am I showing you this? To scare you? To be honest, yes. But not in a way to scare you so you shut down your computers, you leave IT and you go to an island with your beer. Not a bad idea. But I'm showing you that. So if you are aware, then you can protect yourself. It's like the Ebola. You know that once someone is infected, you are not going to allow to touch them. You should call the, you know, authorities, this and that, right? And credit for my friend Dan, who gave me that 2 slides. He's in Australia. Thank you very much for him. I think I should do some demo, right?
Yeah.
Do you mind if you switch to my... So, while my demo environment is coming up, let's do live feedback. Please be honest. Who never downloaded an MP3 for free? Or let me ask you this way. Who has an iPhone? Hands, please. Not too many. I know you love Windows Phone. Thank you. But a couple of months ago, Apple pushed out a free album, right? Did you get it? Yeah, you did. Well, the question is, what if Apple decide to push something else towards you? It's not just Apple, okay? Just get the company name. So they send you an album without even you knowing. Again, let's go to my main topic. Who never downloaded a unpaid movie from an underground website? Let's be honest, never. Not even once. Yeah? Did you download the MP3? Here we go. Anybody, please. And for the ones they watching the recording, the whole room said, no, that's good, thank you. So we all do. Now the question here is, why are these guys giving you something for free? By the way, I got three giveaways. Okay, laptop from Marcus Murray. So towards the end of the session, there is Marcus. Here we go. So you can come and collect these flyers. We got laptops, USB sticks, antiviruses to give away. If you answer the questions, you will get drawing or the stuff, okay? So the question again, why? Why are Marcus giving you a free laptop? Sorry, Marcus. Of course, this is for marketing purposes, but why are the hackers giving you free stuff? Like Windows 7, full with all the cool stuff, Adobe Photoshop, this and that. Why? They spend lots of time just to make you happy, or they hate those companies? Really? I'm going to do a very basic demonstration, okay? Let me just log in to my demo environment. You all said that you like free games.
Absolutely.
I saw Marcus coming into the room. I'm stressing now. Hassan is the good guy there. All right, what I'm going to do now, let me zoom in. Oh, can you see it? Is it good enough? Not this. Okay, I'm going to viruses and worms. Let's get today some Trojans. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. Trojans and backdoors, Trojan types. Today, I feel like where is my games?
Yes, our games first.
Sorry?
You're looking for a game.
First. Here's my little Tetris games. Please notice the size. It's around 200 kilobytes. Let me run it to you. It's a usual Tetris game. Let me start. La 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 la. By the way, can you please take on? I want to finish this game first.
Okay.
Oh, no. Okay, this game is 200 kilobytes, right? What I'm going to do now, I'm going to use a software called a wrapper. One file exe. Let me just quickly install it. What is this going to do is, like, if I tell you, hi, Chris Jackson, here's a free water for you, and you don't know me, will you take it off me?
Yeah.
The question is, why am I giving the free water to him? So he notices I'm a handsome man. No. He noticed that I'm, dressed cool, I got the speaker badge, I know him for years, he will take it from me. But if I were a little bit dirty, sweaty, would you take this water off me? Probably no.
Yes, I would.
He said no. It's my session. Okay, so here's the software. I always forget. What I'm going to do is, because he's not going to get the virus off me, I'm going to wrap my little game, which is here. For some reason, I lost all my pre-settings, but doesn't matter. Nothing to stress. It's just a demo. And the gods are on my side. It's an easy one anyway. I'm adding my game, 200 kilobytes. Chris, what kind of app would you like to have to see if it's compatible with Windows 10. What kind of virus do you prefer today, as you allow me? Can I give you today a Trojan? Yeah? No? All right, let's get a red Trojan today. Let's get the thief. I know it's old. It's not about a new virus, old virus. Let me save this for you. I want to save it into my desktop and call it TechEd Rocks. save. Here's my little virus. And right click. Do you notice the size? The game was 200 kilobytes. The virus is 200 kilobytes. And this is how they trick you into it. So while you're thinking you're downloading a free game, you didn't download game, it was MP3, right? Free book, not his book is not with a virus. You're actually getting infected. How? You know, you can just double click on it. Probably you be my victim. Now Raymond goes to the website, he downloads the game. You play the game. Go ahead, play the game.
I'll try to play it. Let's see if it still works.
It was 10 minutes ago before the session.
Not now.
All right. It feels like... Anyway, the game will start shortly, hopefully. Okay? Then it's going to start basically a remote commands to myself. So what's going to happen is that poor... guy who downloaded the game is going to get infected. I'm going to check this while I'm going to come back to this. Let me switch back to my slides. Slides. So, once upon a time, servers were the main targets. Once upon a time, it was hard to hack enterprises. Things has shifted, as we said in the beginning. People are using web browsers. I'm pretty sure you attended Marcus and Hussein's session. You saw how they attacked the email clients. He was showing the pre-con, if not, go and watch it, how you can use web browsers to attack or to get attacked. Instant messaging, as we all know, people are using Skype and any other instant messaging to send you phishing emails where you click on those. Streaming multimedia players. Just last year, in YouTube, more than 3 million phishing advertisements were there. And I don't know how many click-through, what was the click-through, but it was really, really bad. Social engineering, I think we all know what it is. If not, you can go and watch some sessions in Channel 9. And TBA, to be advised, we still don't know what these guys are working around. Remember, the Stuxnet? For 5 years, nobody did notice about it. 5 whole years. So maybe we're under new attack, which we don't know. Why are they successful? First of all, we assume everything is good. We rely on others. We don't get the right defense mechanisms. We misbehave and assume to be protected. And to be honest, we all rely on somebody else. So, what are the vulnerabilities? The biggest vulnerability is you. Your ignorance. We are too lazy. Poor defenses. We don't get what is given to us. Sometimes for free. Sometimes you go buy $1 million products, but you don't use it effectively. Or... let's say you do everything well. You go to a website which was compromised by somebody else. It's an active website, like eBay, for example. It was hacked. Or Dropbox. It was hacked. Which means we don't really do the right maintenance about ourselves. Like we buy a car, we make sure we go to the service every 5,000 kilometers, and we make sure the car is clean, fresh all the time. Do you do this with your computers?
Well, you buy a PC and you get it with a free antivirus.
Oh, okay.
And it expires after 30 days.
So what's going to happen next?
You get warned.
No, it's Windows 10, actually. Okay, you continue then.
Ignore those warnings.
And I fix this demo.
So what we have to do, we have to make sure that we protect each and every layer of what we are using, starting with the data. And the data is always hard. Let's show some hands. Who implemented DRM on this corporate data? I see 3 hands of 1,000 people. Because it's hard. It's hard to protect your data. Okay, then we start protecting the rest. We start protecting our applications. We try to, maybe we should sign all our applications. Let's show some hands. Is there anyone who signs all their corporate applications? I see one, two hands. It's also hard. Hard to make sure that you only run your trusted applications. Well, what's kind of easier is make sure that you protect your host. I guess we all protect our hosts using group policies, make sure that we have some hardening in there. But it's not only the hosts that have to be protected, it's also our internal network. And the internal hard network is probably much harder because we get all sorts of people coming into our companies. I have it in my home. I have a wireless network and my friends, not only my friends, the friends of my son come in and they want access to my wireless network. Should I say no? What do they bring into my network? I don't know. I should create a guest network for them, but then they cannot play with my son. So, it's hard. And then there is the perimeter. And the perimeter is always even harder, because the perimeter is like we don't want anyone from the outside to come into our network, but we want the people to access our mail who work here, the people that we trust. We want those people maybe to access data on our network. We like to have bring your own devices. So we have to open up our network for the outside world. But where does it stop? And then there's the physical layer, and the physical layer may be even harder because we lock our doors. But do you know where all these old computers are that you don't use anymore? Do these computers still contain your admin passwords that you still use on all your systems in your network? Somebody may be able to steal them. And of course, there is this big vulnerability behind the desk. Us, the users. And we have to make them aware. So there is always, when protecting your systems, there is always rule number one. Rule number one is make sure that you don't use privileges when you don't need them. Don't run as a local administrator if you don't have to be a local administrator. Because this is the single point where each and every hack starts. Each and every hacker will try to be an administrator on your system first and on your network later.
Can I quickly ask you? Please be honest. Who is not using the system at home or at work as admins? Hence, out of 1,000-something people, maybe 20%? What about your wives, your kids? They play Minecraft, they need to install Java, hopefully not for long. Microsoft hopefully is going to fix that. maybe you're going to fix it, Chris, for us later. App contact, you know. Anyway, look, 1,000 people here, only 20%. You know what? A very basic, here, based on research, 92% of critical vulnerabilities reported to Microsoft can be blocked via least privileges. Who didn't know that? Please, hands. Who did never hear about this? You never heard about this? Oh, yeah. Who never heard? We all know, but we still ignore it. And then me and Raymond talk about it. He said, we're just talking about basic stuff. Hacking is not rocket science. Even though some people are good on it, some not, it's about how do you defend yourself.
So the operating system, it is secure if you're not running as a local administrator. And if you are running as a local administrator, well, there are some measures in there. First of all, if a hacker comes in and you are a standard user, it's so much harder to become an administrator, because to become an administrator from being a standard user, you have to know some kind of exploitable bug in Windows that I don't know of, that you don't know of, and that most hackers do not know of. And if they know about it, Microsoft will know about it in a kind of short period, and it will be fixed. But if you are an administrator, even if you are using user account control, it will be much easier to become an administrator. User account control, it was introduced with Windows Vista. And this was a reason for lots of us to turn it off. Who's still turning it off? Most people are scared to show their hands. But
yeah, I would too.
Few people still are. Let's say it in such a way. User account control, it will not protect you from everything. It is not a security boundary, as Marko Zinovic said. But it will help you to protect your systems. And actually, user account control was introduced for developers. Make sure that developers know that you are not an administrator on your system. And that they have to program their applications such that you, as a standard user, can use their applications. Then the operating system introduced IE protected mode. And IE protected mode is actually Internet Explorer using mandatory access control in Windows. And what mandatory access control does, it is that each and every object in Windows gets an integrity level. Standard integrity level is medium for everything on your system, for every process that you run as a standard user. But Internet Explorer, when you're accessing the internet, is running at the low integrity level. And the low integrity level means that Internet Explorer can only talk to other processes and objects, change objects, that have the same integrity level. And it cannot talk to any process or change an object that has a higher integrity level. So Internet Explorer cannot even talk to other processes on your system when you are entering the internet. It cannot save files on your file system when you're entering the internet, unless this specific place on your disk has the low integrity level. And most places on your disk are at the medium integrity level. So Internet Explorer cannot make any changes. It cannot even download data without you knowing about it. Because to download data, Internet Explorer will have to call another process at the medium integrity level. And there are only a few processes that are allowed by Windows that Internet Explorer can call to do the download for you. And otherwise, the download will not happen. It's easy to see how this works. Let's get to my system. Here's my system, and I am running Process Explorer. And Process Explorer will turn each and every new process green as it starts. So when I start WordPad as a standard user here, you will see a green line showing up, which is WordPad. And let's zoom in. And WordPad is here running at the medium integrity level. So this is just me running as a standard user using WordPad. I can create files, save files, do anything with it, just as I do usually do. Let's put it here. Now I can start WordPad with the low integrity level. To do that, I will use psexec with the dash L parameter. And when I look here, I have a new process running here, which is WordPad running at the low integrity level, as you see here. 64-bit process running with the low integrity level. Now, what's the difference between those two versions of WordPad running on my system? So we can compare the low integrity level with IE, IE entering the internet. If I try to save this file, and I try to save it to my documents folder, this is what happens. Access is denied. Oh. I don't have permission to save to this location. This is because I am running at the low integrity level. So I can now only save the file in a location where I'm running with the low integrity level. So where's that? Well, there are a few specific locations, and I'll access one of them. If I go to the app data folder, this is the app data folder, and here you see there are three folders in there. One says local, one says local low, and one says roaming. Now, you can imagine why the one is named local low. This is a folder with the low integrity level. So if I try to save my file here, I will just be able to save it with no issues at all. And it's the same thing with the communication between processes, because I can add a picture here in my medium level workpad. Erdl making fun of me. And now this is the medium level process. Now when I try to drag and drop to a low level process, I will be allowed to, because medium level is higher than the lower level. So I can just drag and drop this picture from the medium level to the low level. It's supposed to be like that. But now the low level, this is IE. And if IE tries to do something with another process at the medium level, things will get harder. Let's try to drag and drop. You see what happens? I cannot drag and drop. This is because this is the medium level process, and IE is not able to do so. Okay, let's get back to the slides. Now, turning off user account control is a bad idea, because when you turn off user account control and you log on as an administrator, IE is not using protected mode, meaning that all your Internet Explorer processes will be running at the high integrity level, not even medium. So if you are entering a malicious site, running as an administrator without user account control, you're vulnerable. Maximum vulnerable. So that might not be a good idea. And then there's Windows 8. When you're running Windows 8 and you turn off user account control, this is what happens. You will not be able to open any modern application. This is because all modern applications will be running at the low integrity level, which cannot happen when you're running without user account control. Those modern applications, metro applications, universal applications, Windows 10, those are specifically written with security in mind. When you're installing a universal app, I still have to get used to this, you're installing an application that has its own sandbox. It is running with its own security ID. It is installed in its own folder, and the app is only able to access what's in its own folder. And then the developer can tell, well, this application is also able to access the network or use your Windows credentials. But those are specific capabilities that have to be entered during the development of the application. And if you are asking for capabilities that are not supposed to be there, and Microsoft thinks so, you are not allowed to enter the store with your application, your universal app. And as these applications are also running at the low integrity level, everything the app tries to do outside of the container has to be done by a helper process. So if you try to open a file from your universal app, you have to call a helper process. And that helper process will pick up that file and hand it over to the app. Otherwise, the app will not be able to do something wrong on your system. I was already telling about IE, and IE has protected mode, running at the low integrity level. But Microsoft introduced IE enhanced protected mode with IE 10. And enhanced protected mode, it's actually two things. In Windows 7, enhanced protected mode means that each and every content process where you're opening a website on the internet is running as a 64-bit process, which is harder to hack. A little bit harder to hack. In Windows 8, if you are using, if you enable enhanced protected mode, IE will be running in an app container, just like all the universal apps. So IE will be running in this container, not being able to access anything outside of the container. But this makes it also very hard to run plugins like Silverlight or Java or anything else on top of Internet Explorer. This is why Microsoft enabled Enhanced Protected Mode by default for the modern UI Internet Explorer. And when you're running Internet Explorer on a desktop, it's still running just in protected mode and not enhanced protected mode. What you'll also see is that in IE 11 on Windows 8, enhanced protected mode means still running a 32-bit process, so it will be more compatible with all the plugins, but it will be running in an app container. And those are differences between Windows 7 and Windows 8, which means that Windows 7 makes it a little bit harder to hack, and on Windows 8 it will be much harder to misuse Internet Explorer with enhanced protected mode. So that's about the operating system. So what else can we do?
All right. Now, I fixed the demo, by the way. I'm going to read around it for you. I'll rebuild the environment. Antivirus. Who believes that antivirus will fully protect you? Thank you. So why not? We all know once Marcus and Hussein write a virus and send it across, you get infected. First, you have to know that you're infected. Then you have to report it to your antivirus vendor. Then people like, again, Marcus, he's going to reverse engineer it. He's going to find what is wrong on it. He's going to write a call. He's going to mitigate it. Then antivirus vendor is going to publish it. You have to go download the update. You have to scan your computer. By then, the hacker is going to update his virus. This is in a very good time, maybe 2-3 week process. So, I used to tell this for years. If you attended TechEd for years, people like good speakers, you know, they were always telling you, do not just rely on antivirus. Finally, in May 4, the Symantec senior vice president has said it himself that, you know what, we can only stop around 45% of the viruses. So, if you want to really bypass antiviruses, go to Channel 9. TechEd had many sessions. Go to my blog. I did run many. I mean, I know I got a couple of students here from my uni classes, which I run online. They saw how easy it is to bypass antivirus. Does it mean you should not use antivirus? Definitely not. You should. But keep in mind, it is just extra protection there.
I just remind myself that I forgot something. Internet Explorer running in protected mode. Let's show you how it works.
And most of you think IE is not safe. Okay, who thinks IE? Who is not using IE as main browser? For the ones say watching the session, around 3-4 people, but we know it's a bit more here. Hey, I'm getting paid by Microsoft this week.
Okay, here is Internet Explorer running. Let's try to zoom in, yes. And Internet Explorer, when I just run it and I open a website on the internet, you'll see I have two processes for Internet Explorer. One is running at the medium level, one is running at the low level. So the low level process is like the low level WordPad I was running earlier. And it will be able to do less wrong on your system than other processes that are running at the medium level process. The funny thing is that other browsers do not always do this. So I have watched Firefox, and the last time I watched Firefox was not leveraging integrity levels in their browser. Google is. Google is using other tactics to steal your data.
Did you notice what he said? Can you repeat, please?
No. But they are running Google Chrome with integrity levels. And they are trying to even do it better than Microsoft does it. So if I start Google Chrome and watch the processes that Google Chrome has created, here they are. Let's see what happens. They are changing their tactics currently. Because what Google Chrome does, here are the Google Chrome processes, and unfortunately, it doesn't show anymore. It did the last time I tested.
What it does here, you see there is a medium level process and there are a couple of low level processes. Well, sometimes, and I'm not sure when it happens, you will also see processes from Google Chrome running at the untrusted level. Apparently, Google was thinking, well, Microsoft is going a level lower. We will go a level lower than low. I don't know what it does, but it sounds more secure. But I think that someone at Google is currently leaving that practice and they are just putting all their processes at the low integrity level, which is low enough.
And you saw how it can affect you in the picture example.
Now, there is antivirus to protect your systems, and you can use Symantec for 30 days. Or you can try to prevent being attacked by using EMET. EMET is the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit by Microsoft. It's been introduced, I think, a few years ago already.
And can I quickly ask, who is using EMET? I love when Microsoft people say yes, but beside Microsoft people, so you should not work for Microsoft and say yes at the same time. Maybe 10 people, maybe 20 out of 1,000.
Okay.
And look what it can do.
Okay, what EMET does, well, let's say it first. It was introduced a few years ago with probably, I don't think it even had a GUI. I was highly intimidated by EMET the first time I started it. But what it does, it utilizes lots of the operating system mitigations that have been already there for years for all the applications that you install on your system to prevent your application become a victim of buffer overflows and other attacks like these. So all those mitigations have been there for a long time, but the application developers have to enable their application to use stuff like data execution prevention for buffer overruns. And they just didn't do it. So what you can do with EMET is enable those features for each and application that you are running so that a zero-day exploit will be harder to be exploited on your system. And EMET also does some other things. It verifies your SSL certificates. Who remembers the big certificate authority hack 2 years ago in the Netherlands? Did you know, Tor?
Besides the Dutch guys?
Did you know there was a Dutch root CA that has been trusted by Windows for a long time? And what happened? They were hacked. And they were hacked in such a way that the hackers were able to create certificates from that root CA, just by random. But they didn't do it by random. They created a certificate for Google and misused that certificate in Iran to make sure that they were able to get all the SSL traffic going to Google from the users in Iran.
Saying that, Komodo, VeriSign, they were also hacked 3 times, and many others.
But this time, things went really wrong until someone in Iran noticed that they were using a Google certificate from DigiNotar while other people in the world got Google certificates from somewhere else. So what this feature does in EMET is check if the certificates are coming from the trusted root and not from another root that is trusted but that should not be trusted this time. Well, for your applications, EMET uses the application compatibility framework in Windows, and Chris Jackson can tell you everything about that, to actually turn on all these features for your applications. But before you start turning on the features, you have to make sure that you test the application, that the application will still work. I have been using EMET for the past few months, and I have run into one issue with a Microsoft application, Silverlight, which actually broke by one of the security features that is provided by EMET. So it's just to make sure that at first everything may seem to work. It seemed to work for me until I entered a specific site that utilized Silverlight, and then things started breaking. So make sure that you test. So how does it help? Let's go to my demo system and see how it fixes your vulnerabilities. Let's close a few windows. And get to my documents.
Are you going
to
use the file that I send you?
Yes, I'm going to send the file that I sent you. This system is running Office 2010 Service Pack 2 unpatched. So it just works. It does everything. I can open files and everything. Until I'm getting the wrong file from the wrong person. My friend, Erdal. He just sent me this very interesting README file, and let's see what happens.
Remember you were downloading ebook? Yeah.
This is going wrong. Let's try it again. I'm getting hacked. Just by opening an RTF. The wrong RTF will just break my office, start something else, something that the hacker decided to start, and I'm entering a website. This could be worse. This could be downloading something that I didn't want and exploit my system. Send all my information to someone that I didn't want to send my information to. So how could I prevent this? Well, first of all, I could have patched my system. That would be a good practice. But we all know that this vulnerability, it happened before Microsoft patched it. So in the meantime, I would be vulnerable. And this is when EMET comes in place. With EMET, I can tell, well, let's put some mitigations in place and make sure that we protect my systems from being hacked by zero-day vulnerabilities. So in this case, let's see if EMET is already started. Here it is. I will try to protect Word. If you install EMET with the default settings, it will protect Office by default, it will protect IE by default, and it will protect Java by default. So you would not have to do anything. In this case, I turned all off all these features, and I will have to add everything myself. So in this case, Word. Word is in the process list here, and I can say configure the process. And then Word will be entered in my EMET database with all the protections turned on. Data execution prevention, and other preventions that keep buffer overruns from happening on my system. So if I turn this on, let's get back to the normal view. Say OK here. Let's see what happens now. And I start Word. Refresh here. Word should be protected, but it's not yet. Let's. I configured the wrong process. Let's try it again. Thank you. Let's remove this before I break something else. Protect Word. Restart Word. Have a look at EMET and see the result. Now it's working. Now you see a green bullet saying that WinWord is being protected by EMET. Now, at this time, EMET should protect overruns, buffer overflows from happening on my system. So if I now get this malicious file from Erdal and I try to open it.
Zoom in.
Yes, I want to open it.
Zoom in.
EMET will kick in and tell me, well, something is going wrong here and I will stop Word from doing wrong things on your system. So I will not be entering the malicious website or installing something that I don't want on my system.
So how much EMET cost again?
Not so much.
For free.
It's a free download.
You can use via group policy, and you're still not using it.
Well, the investment in EMET is especially about testing all your applications. Make sure that your applications don't break after enabling EMET. Okay, then, the internet has been full of new threats. Threats about stealing our identity on our systems. We had Pass the Hash, which I demoed on our previous presentation in Houston, which was already kind of scary because it shows how someone being an administrator on your system can just steal your credentials and misuse them to enter the rest of your network by stealing the NTLM hash. Well, in the meantime, there was a Black Hat conference. And the Black Hat conference introduced probably Windows enemy number one for now, Mimikatz, where a few guys were showing how you can not only steal the NTLM hash, but can also steal your Kerberos token. And that presentation showed even worse things. It showed how you can create your own Kerberos token if you got a hold on the domain controller to be just anyone on your network and being really, really hard to detect for you as a domain administrator. So, if your domain controller used to be somewhere in a basement, in a kitchen, or somewhere else where you were not able to really keep a close eye on your domain controller, make sure that you do something about this, because this is probably threat number one. Well, pass the hash and pass the token is about entering the LSASS process and asking for your credentials. What can you do? Well, Microsoft says, well, make sure you don't get hacked.
It's in the TechNet article.
Obvious. But the main thing is make sure that you are not running as a local administrator. And maybe more important, if you are not fully trusting the system, don't ever log on with a domain administrator. Is there any of you having users in your network running as a local administrator on their system? Few people are daring to say so, but it happens. And if you ever log on to that system, being a domain administrator, you will never be sure that this user will get a hold on your credentials being the domain administrator. And this tool, this Windows enemy number one tool that I was just telling about, it's there on the internet. It's one simple Bingo search, and you will find it. You can download a zip file, and you can run it. I got it running in 10 minutes. And so can your local administrators do. So make sure that you know about this and that you are start trying to protect yourself from these attacks. Let's do a short demo how it works. I will do the demo on Windows 7 because that's even more scary. And I think most corporations are still running Windows 7. So here I am running as a local administrator.
Can you see it at the back?
And being a local administrator, I am not able to view the directory of my domain controller, which is here. It will just say access denied. I cannot view the root of the C drive of my domain controller because I'm the local administrator. But this system also has the domain administrator logged in somewhere. It might be a service, it might be another session, but the domain administrator is logged in somewhere, and I know about it. So what I can do now is I can just steal the credentials. And stealing the credentials can be done in two ways. With this tool, enemy number one, cd, let's get to my tools folder. And here is Mimikatz, and I can use it for a few things. I can say, well, first of all, I have to get the privileges to do so. Debug privilege. Thank you. And then I can say, well, show me all the passwords of the users logged on to this system. Typo. That should be it. Now, this is what happens on Windows 7. Yes, I will zoom in a second. Yes, here is it happening. It shows that my domain admin is logged in somewhere, and this is his password. That's how easy it is. If I only want to steal the NTLM hash, it's also there. It's here. This is what I can do to pass the hash. I only require this hash, and I can say, well, let's be the domain admin. So now I can do something like logging on as the domain admin. But what I also can do, and that's maybe even simpler than that, I can export the tickets for all users being logged on to this system currently. So I can say, well, let's show me all tickets and export them. So now all tickets are passing by, and they are being exported to the folder where I'm currently in. So let's exit Mimikatz and show what's in here. This is a list of all the Kerberos tokens in here. And now it's getting really interesting, because this one here is the Kerberos ticket granting ticket of my domain admin. Well, if you know how Kerberos works, the first time you log on, you're getting the ticket granting ticket. This is kind of the master ticket that you require to gain access to all the resources in your network. If you present this ticket to the domain controller, you can ask for a service ticket to any resource in your domain. So if I have this ticket, I'm in. And Mimikatz just provides you with the interface to start using this ticket. Just as easily as this. Let's make sure I know the name of the file. Ticket granting ticket for the domain admin. Enter Mimikatz. Get the privilege. And then say, I want this Kerberos ticket to be mine. And now it says, well, thank you. I successfully submitted this for the current session. This means I now have the Kerberos ticket granting ticket in my session, being the domain administrator. And the easiest way to see if it actually worked is by exiting this process and then see if I can show the directory for the domain controller. And here is the directory for the domain controller. I can just now start administering the domain. Create users, do everything with it. At this moment, you're toast, if this happens to your network. And remember, this is a simple download, and I didn't require Tor or any difficult information to get to this tool. It's just there. It's downloadable from probably the most popular freeware download site in the world. And any local administrator in your domain can just start using this. So if you have any services running with domain privileges on all your systems in your network, you might be in trouble. So Microsoft was already aware of Pass the Hash and did a lot of things to make sure that these things couldn't happen. But that was during the Pass the Hash time frame. Now we're in the Pass the Token time frame, and lots of these strengthening things work more or less. So there is a strengthened LSASS. Yes, on Windows 8, if you run the command to show the passwords, it will not show you the passwords, but it will show you the NTLM hash. And you will still be able to export all the Kerberos tokens. And then there are methods to restrict the credentials. You can use the protected users group, which keeps most secrets from being in the LSASS. But you require Server 2012 R2 domain controllers, I think. And then there is the RDP restricted admin mode, which is also effective or if you are using RDP to RDP servers where you do not require access to other resources in your network. Because what it does, it uses Kerberos, a service ticket from Kerberos to enter an RDP session. And then that RDP session will not be able to request new tickets on behalf of the logged on user. So, back to the bad guy.
Oh, that's me. Okay, remember in the first... Can we switch to my PC? Remember in the first session, for some reason, my program stopped. It crashed. I just reset the VM. It's okay now. I used a program called Wrapper to show you how hackers wrap the software. This was the original file. The Tetris games, which was around 200 kilobytes. And this is, I created a new one. The virus file, which is 441 kilobytes. And if that poor victim comes and clicks into it, his game will start. Yes, I know, I made it visible for you. As soon as he starts at the background, the virus which has been attached is going to start as well. So what, if you don't believe me, you can do a netstate, an command, or use Microsoft, which is beautiful. Oops. TCP with commands, you will see that it already start to send some information out to the server. So, I was trying to tell you that do not, do not trust the, you know, bad guys and think twice before you download free stuff. Okay, now this was the first demo. Now I want to show you how easy it is to hack someone. Again, I'm going to use a very old easy virus.
But why don't you show what actually is the effect of running this application? Can you now just take over this system?
Yes, that's what I'm going to show now.
Okay.
So, remember? Now it's been attached. What I'm going to do is, instead of using the attached file, I'm going to show you one by one how a hacker will do stuff to own you. For this, I was... I was giving the free water to Chris, and he said, yes, he wants the virus. I said, no, you don't. It's my session. Just a refresher. I hope it's going to work this time. It worked a few minutes ago while Raymond is speaking. What I've done is, basically, I'm just going to my folder. Now, Trojans, let's get the TIF virus, which is a remote access Trojan. Remember, I wrapped it, but forget about the wrapping. What they do is, first they install the server. Here's the server, double click, run. Now, why I'm showing you this? Just to let you know, you can go and buy botnets. You can go buy viruses. You can hire hackers. And as the security professionals around you did mention many, many times in their sessions, you can easily hire professionals, you know, in the courts. For the ones who's watching the session, I made a court sign. So you can go to underground websites and hire these guys, buy these programs. I used the old one. I was too stingy to spend some money to buy a new bot. But Marcus, you done it in your session. How much was a usual bot, Marcus? How much is the cheapest bot that we can buy? Pass on the quality. So the more attack, the bigger the attack you plan, the more you have to pay. And knowing that, it's public information. Lots of governments hire security professionals. And it's also public information. One of the big governments, which owns one third of the world in terms of population, collected last year close to 700 gigabyte data from someone else's computer. Why they do that? How they do that? Okay, did I double click on this before?
Yes, you did.
Let's run the server. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my Windows 8 PC. By the way, saying that, we have free antiviruses to give away. All what you have to do is tweet about our session. I saw Matthias Grundland done it already. I have around 25 free antiviruses to give away via Twitter. Just tweet about the session and come show the tweet. You will get the antivirus. Or if you don't have any Twitter account, come drop your business card. You will get a free antivirus from Zemana and free laptop from Marcus and Hussein from TrueSec. They are there. Come collect one of these or some USB sticks, okay? Andy, are you here? I got also his book to give away. All right, now I'm going to Windows 8. There's my Windows 8.
On top.
I'm sending my command. Logging in. Just going to my same directory where Chris was keen to get some free stuff off me. Again, Trojans, why I can see it. Yeah, I'm in the wrong directory again. Module 6, Trojan types. You will see BlackBerry Trojan, Batnut Trojan, eBanking Trojan. Oh, there is no Android Trojan. Why? It's inbuilt. So, Rat Trojan, Cat Thief. Now, I got also a client. Remember, this client was attached 3 minutes ago to that game. Now, let's run it. And I know the server address of my attack. Why? Remember, that guy did install Tetris just for the sake of it. And as soon as he done it, it started to send some sync packet towards me. So I know where that guy sits. I got his public information. And in this case, it wasn't hard to me. 10.10.10. It's internal, I know that. Connect. Now I'm connected to this gentleman's or lady's computer. I can get their PC details. Administrator, computer name, registered owner. It is the hardware information. It is a Windows 2008 based on the version. I can go look in the home directory. I can check the network files. I can go capture the screens. I can just press this little icon here. Boom. I don't know if you can see it. I got full access to their computers. What else can I do? Let me close the screen capture. I can go and turn off their computer. For fun, I can disable their mouse. You know, little old stuff, which is quite fun. I think you understand the theory. Now, next time, when you go and download free stuff, keep this in mind. If you really, 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 really want to download, which I'm not recommended, at least use Windows 8 Hyper-V. It's free. And use a virtual machine and download it there. All right? If you really, really want it. But it's illegal. Don't do it. Remember the first warning in the beginning? My job is to show it to you. The rest is up to you. Okay. Now, quickly, pass the hash. Yes, you can use Mimikatz, you can use the patch the hash attack, which many people presented many, many times. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to use different software. I'm too lazy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use some other stuff to steal the software. There is it. I lost it. All right. PW dump. All right. 1 second, please. Do it. Here it is. I'm just starting it here. It's called PW dump. An old tool. All what I'm gonna do is PW dump 7. I'm running the program now. PW dump 7. Export to C drive. Call it app compact. Not guy. .txt. It's there. Let's go to C drive.
Except access denied.
Sorry?
Access denied.
Access denied? I shouldn't use his name. All right, let's do it again. It's the server, right?
Are you running as an administrator?
Yeah, I didn't. Let's use a different location. Come on. Let's use D drive. Z test.txt. And if I go to Z drive, test.txt. All right. Today it's a bad day. Anyway, that's a good idea. Yes, very quickly. Thank you, Marcus. It's always good to have you around. As soon as I run it as admin, which I forgot to do it, I got my master's here, I can just create the hashes, get the hashes, copy the hash, put it in a program called opcrack, and from there I can just run it, okay? Now I can quickly go to opcrack. Today is a bad day. Here's my opcrack program, or what I'm going to do is, I will just show you the time is about to run. So you can go and download it from here. It's free. Tables. Very quickly, who's still using Windows XP? Please be very honest. Still lots of hands. Why it's a good idea to move from Windows XP? Doesn't matter how long your password is. As you can see, there are lots of tables which you can download. For Windows XP, the biggest table is around 7.5 gigabyte. Don't worry about Windows Vista. Windows 8, it goes up to 2 terabytes. So the better operating system mitigations you have, the harder it's to reach you out. Okay? So I'm going to stop here. The time is nearly over. 1 more minute left. So I think you understand what we were trying to do. Yes, I know one of the demos didn't work, but It was really not about the demo. It was about how you can understand what's going on. There are many other tools which you can use. Most of them are free, like Metasploit, Nmap, Opcrack, Sysinternals, Mimikatz, and you can always go find out more information about these in our blogs, okay? Or you can watch the sessions from the Masters Round as well. So, if you want a free laptop, please come pick up one of these files. And free USBs, come and see us. Marcus and Hassan are there. They will give you some out as well. As a mitigation, don't forget, you promised to me that you're not going to use any admin credentials in your laptop, in your environments, right? You're going to use the modern apps. You are going to keep your systems up to date. Yes, antiviruses are good, but it's better if you have it up to date. And please, 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 go ahead and try to test, implement EMET. It's free. We have Microsoft persons here, people here. They are more than happy to help you. I think there is an EMET session finally this year. Take it. Go and watch it. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much.